Move to the Budget and Finance Committee, and this is transition day, so Mr. Ridley will be taking over his head next time, or after this meeting. Are there any items under the Finance and Budget Committee that a board member wishes to remove for discussion?
Chair, I'd like to remove action item 3.1 from the consent agenda for further discussion, please.
Okay. Are there any others?
Does that necessitate... I'm going to go ahead and ask that 3.2 be removed as well, since those are linked together. I think I'd like to remove those two.
Okay. So noted. Oh, and to discuss the...
I move to adopt, to approve the general receipts bonds 3.1.
Okay. And we have to do the consent agenda first.
There's a second.
Well, you have to have a motion first before she can explain it.
The consent agenda, did you remove...
She moved all of them.
All of them?
No,
yeah.
No, I didn't.
Just
I removed 3.1 and
3.2.
Which
is all.
3.3 is still...
And 3.3 is not part of the consent agenda because it didn't run through committee.
Ah, thank you. So it'll have to be separate. Okay, that's right.
So all three are to be addressed
right,
separately.
Right.
Okay,
and
great.
I just moved to approve the first one.
Great.
Okay. Second.
Okay. So we have the agenda item as presented to the Finance and Budget Committee that includes currently three components, one being the full financing of the Downing project. Number two is the Honors International facility, and number three, if it is financially advisable, is a refunding of a current bond issue. We have Mark Rawlings here with us today, financial advisor for us, Hilliard Lyons. If you have any questions as it relates to the bond document, but I understand that probably it's a different issue rather than a financial issue.
It is a different issue.
I have a question. I have a question on the refunding. It's a 2006 Series A. That seems awful short to be refunding. 2006, this is 2012, so you're going to have a premium because they're not par.
No, right now, as of right when we were considering this, when we drafted the agenda item, it's to give us that latitude, but right now we don't see any feasible way to refund.
It's a bad market right now.
No, it is not. Yeah. So I would request that if this is approved, we leave it to have the flexibility should there be a change in the market, but we don't anticipate that that's probably going to be part of the bond.
Where's the financial advisor?
Mark Rawlings, would you mind come on up?
Flexibility is a good thing, but you know, there's always a rule of thumb as to when it's economically justifiable for a refunding. And that rule of thumb, I forgot, I think it's present worth savings of what, 5%?
That's typically a good target for present value savings. We don't always strictly adhere to that. If this refunding offered 4% savings, I may recommend that you go ahead and take it. There's no hard and fast rule. You mentioned the premium.
Right.
By the time we issued these general receipts bonds, which were the first general receipts bonds, I believe that the university issued in 2006. Call features do not include a premium. They are callable at par.
Oh, okay.
But they are not callable until 2016. So
right.
It would essentially fund an escrow until
okay.
They are callable in 2016.
So it's a pre-refunding?
Yes, it's an advance refunding, which is not at all unusual. We do them all the time. And in fact, we've done several advance refundings for the university in the past, where really the only reason these are not presenting any present value savings to the university is that we saw a recent increase in interest rates that have moved it out of the market.
Yeah, I like to. I think the board needs to be advised as to what the present value savings would be before, at least my recommendation would be before you go forward on a refunding, because it at some point it's just not economically good for the university. So rather than have a blanket agreement, I would think there needs to be a parameter, or at least asking the board chair or the finance committee. I would even delegate it to someone like that. I mean, I'm all for an advance refunding as long as we get a bang for our buck, that it's economically makes sense.
And I will say that when we do attempt to bring these bonds to market, we do seek UPAN's approval before we even accept the bids on the bonds.
I act as treasurer for the board. I understand your point.
Yeah.
And yes, we would not proceed with it if it wasn't a positive market for us to do that.
Well, and a present value savings of at least 5%. I think it should be 5%. That's my belief. Freddie?
I think it's a great idea, and I'm sure we can amend the motion to incorporate a threshold, and if it's not there, we can come back.
Yeah, we're all for the same thing. I would then, although I make a motion to amend the present motion.
We're not on that present motion, are we?
Yeah, we are. Okay. We're on discussion of the motion to approve this.
Okay. Yes.
These two issues and the refunding. The only thing amendment I'd make is that the refunding would also be agreeable as long as and can show that it would be a 5% present value savings. That's my motion to amend.
No, I have absolutely no problem with that. And like I said, 5% is a good target. Mm-hmm. We have accepted less, but for example, the Department of Education for K-12 school bond issue requires 5% savings on advantage. It's not unheard of at all.
I would second that amendment.
Just for point of clarification, so this would be a vote only on amending the motion, and that becomes the new motion?
No. The amendment would be voted upon as it attaches to this main motion, and the amendment would be voted upon before you vote on the main motion.
Yes. Yes. That's. This is not the vote on the motion. It's just the motion. It would be voting to amend, as Mr. Zelke suggests.
Did I hear a motion? There's a motion second for the amendment.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All, any opposed? And that attaches
the amendment.
That's now main motion.
Now your amendment is passed.
That's now main
we'll
motion.
Call it. I'll call a question on the underlying motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Before we have the question, I'd like to say a few things about the main motion. The new as amended.
Okay.
I have several concerns about this based on not only on decisions made by the board in the past, but also current trends, which we were which we saw yesterday at the board retreat. Now, the past, those of you who were on the board in October of 2009, and there are a number of us here, will remember that then student regent Kevin Smiley and I voted against an agenda item that used academic affairs monies from DLO to purchase property on Normal Street, which was then known as Colonial Courts, for a little over $500,000. And the purpose of that was to use the property for two things, visiting international scholar housing, which it is, and for future space for international student support services, ISSS. And Regent Smiley observed at the time that surely tuition monies could be better used for the benefit of all students. And I objected at the time to using academic affairs money for brick and mortar projects instead of for the academic mission for which tuition is increasingly our only funding stream as state revenue, state contributions decline. And at the time, we were assured this was a one-time only deal, that we would not make a habit of using academic affairs or tuition monies for anything other than those things that would benefit the academic mission for all of our students. And we heard at the time, at the same meeting, about something called Navitas. And we were told that Navitas was a program that would recruit international students in large numbers and would produce $10 million in revenue. And that $10 million number, you probably remember, was discussed emphatically. So when the two buildings in the front of Colonial Courts were eventually pulled down, the ones the board was told would be used for ISSS, in their place would be a new international center, we were told, paid for cash, for $10 million by the Navitas revenue. Well, we know now, as we saw in yesterday's presentation, that the proposed revenue stream from Navitas has not materialized, and in fact, nobody talks about that $10 million number anymore and pretends like it didn't happen. But the proposed building is still with us, and it has grown. It has grown to a $22 million project that is now a proposed Honors College International building with a proposed funding stream of international student tuition and Navitas revenues. If the 2009 board action was a slippery slope, this action is jumping without a net, and it has some very serious consequences for the financial future of this university if projections fail to materialize. There are several reasons not to approve this today. First and foremost, we can't afford this. The revenue stream is uncertain at best in this challenging economic climate. The documents we've seen clearly show that literally to build this house upon international student tuition revenues and projected Navitas revenue is to build the house upon sand. It is a highly volatile revenue stream, and there is a lot of evidence, much of which was presented in an open letter by student leader Mark Reeves, that we are pricing ourselves too high to sustain our enrollment in a volatile international student climate. Now, when we talked about this in committee, we were told that if this revenue stream falls short, the money would simply be taken from somewhere else in the budget. Now, remember that our budget cut this year was $2.1 million. That bond debt is 1.5. That's hurt. That is some serious hurt on our budget if we have to start taking that debt service from the general budget. Given that we've made the very large cut to balance the current budget, I don't think it's acceptable to take this risk. And if it passes, and even if we reach those international student projections that we saw yesterday, the debt service still diverts tuition money, which the university could use otherwise for a host of other needs, which remain underfunded or unfunded. So it seems unwise to let this building trump all other needs. Student Regent Dodds and Honors College graduate Reeves have pointed out to the board, both in speeches and in open letters, that this project will not recruit future honor students to WKU, nor it won't retain them. Students are not asking for it. It is not a student priority, and there are many other solutions to creating a dignified and comfortable home for our Honors College, which cost far less and apparently have not been seriously explored. And I share their concerns that the high tuition for international students may hurt international enrollment, and it unfairly places the funding burden on international students without impacting the Honors College students who will share the space. Constructing the building further separates these two student populations, and it is a space almost as big as our largest classroom edifice. It deepens the cultural divide and threatens to become a retention problem because of resentment. And to what end? A building does not get people into law school or medical school. It has not helped anyone win a prestigious scholarship. We do great on that on our own. It does not contribute to study abroad. In fact, it diverts funds that could be used to help with that. The only thing that will help further those missions is solid funding for academics. And if the debt service draws money away from academic funding priorities such as upkeep for existing academic space, recruitment and retention of excellent faculty and staff with competitive salaries and benefits, and there were no raises this year, no contribution to benefits, we're told we can't afford that, then it hinders all of our action plan goals. So to conclude, this is the slippery slope I was worried about 4 years ago. We should not take tuition money to pay for debt or for brick and mortar, even for the noblest project, and we should not spend money we don't have from an unreliable revenue stream that ties our hands and mortgages our future for 20 years of debt service. And finally, we shouldn't authorize these bonds just because we have the land. Land is an asset, can be used, held until better times when it can be used wisely. So I urge this board to vote no on the motion and to pass instead an amended motion at the next quarterly meeting that would authorize only the sale of bonds for the Student Center Agency Bond, the building formerly known as DUC. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I have a couple comments to add. This is my first time voting on the board, and so I had to do a little research with people around campus about this issue, particularly about the Honors College International Center. And first off, I would just like to say that I applaud the vision and mission for a new Honors College International Center facility. However, I do question the funding for this building in such a challenging physical environment. As the student representative, I am wary of the tipping point that can be reached when tuition costs outweigh the ability for students to pay for it, especially for full-paying international students who are attracted by the low costs of WKU, and I just would not want to see that weakened in the future, potentially. That is a great advantage that we have at this university. And so I ask the board just to keep this in mind in our shared goal of maintaining growth and improvement at WKU.
I would add, this doesn't affect the out-of-state pricing point for international or domestic out-of-state students. This doesn't affect that price point. That's set by CPE policy on 2.5 times. The out-of-state rate is 2.5 times the in-state rate. We're simply designating a portion of the out-of-state margin for Navitas-only students, and you saw yesterday that those numbers are in hand.
The CPE doesn't set the international student tuition amount, though, does it?
Well, the international, we added a margin for international students this past year that has nothing to do with this building because we're stepping up international student recruitment, and there's a price for that. So there's a, Brian Meredith isn't here, Gordon, $350 differential between international and domestic out-of-state students. But that doesn't have anything to do with this project.
The CPE says that our non-resident rate should be at least 2.5 times the resident rate.
But it's based on a growth model for international. And I think Regent Boca makes an excellent point that if you're going to fund something with international revenue stream, if the students don't come, you're then caught that to make up that revenue stream, you either have to raise the tuition on the existing student stream or you're making it up out of budget.
But we get $160 million from tuition. That funds almost everything in our budget. International, domestic, in-state, out-of-state. We have an enrollment problem. Everything in the budget is in play. So, I would debate most of what you said, and I'm not going to get into that because we've already discussed that in committee. And
don't you think that this is necessary if we are truly going to be a university with an international reach, that which is part of our mission statement that you've been talking about? And John has got this building all designed. Is that right?
Well, it's about halfway designed. We've spent $500,000 on architectural fees to date.
Projects change.
And you believe this will enhance the university?
I do.
And its reputation and the quality of the education?
I do.
We need to sustain an enrollment growth of plus or minus 110 full-paying international students.
Mm-hmm. Through Navitas. Well,
it's first Navitas, second Navitas. It's international growth. If Navitas is not there, an international growth. But
we need to
the pathway program with Navitas feeds into our program, so I don't count. I count them when they're WKU students, but approximately 110 students have to be sustained and dedicated to make this bond payment.
It's not easy. It's volatile.
Beyond the base budget, this is a moving forward 110 new students.
30, but that equals about 40 new students per year. The numbers I shared yesterday showed a pathways number of over 100 students per year, which would grow over time into 400 or 500 students, which only approximately 1/4 of that. We can handle 75% of the volatility and still a revenue stream to pay the bond. As you recall, the anticipated revenue stream will not only cover bond, it will cover two critical actions in the action plan related to faculty staff compensation and with $2 million left over.
So it sounds like you have an extremely high debt service coverage. You take that analysis and apply it to debt service, your debt service coverage is going to be enormous.
If you hit the numbers.
Well, but his variation sounded pretty extreme.
But they're changing. I mean, they're changing.
The board received this yesterday. You may want to get this back.
I'll give it to Philip.
I got it. The first top of the page is what the board received in June. The bottom page are updated numbers.
Those are still that's positive. Still based on a very rosy projection. And our Navitas program, while it is growing, has not performed at any of the levels this board was told in 2009. It underperforms compared to some Navitas programs across the country. And our international student composition is changing. More students from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia who are told where they're going to go by the government who pays for it, so that group can also be lifted out at any given time.
But Navitas doesn't work in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, but that's the other international student funding. Right now, you actually would probably have to use international student tuition to pay some of this debt service.
Not beyond the Navitas numbers, we would.
Continues to grow.
And, you know, like I said, we'll have enough to devote serious money to compensation and other strategic plan variables above and beyond this debt service.
Have these
from the Navitas segment only.
Yeah, it looks good. Have these bonds been rated by Fitch and S&P and Moody's?
No, and that's the rating agency discussion occurs in August. But it's a general receipts bonds. It doesn't. It's our rating. It is not a distinct subset of our tuition revenue. We look at debt that way and say, okay, we have a revenue stream. Mm-hmm. But as far as the bonds are concerned, it's general receipts of the institution.
So we AAA. Are we a AAA security?
What's our rating?
The university carries the rating actually of the state agency. Because of the state intercept program,
AA3
rated by Moody's.
Okay.
And
well, the United States is AA. I mean, give me a break. Pretty good.
They're already complete.
But we wouldn't sell it under an assumption of saying we have a specific revenue stream that's aligned with the debt.
Because these are GOs.
If anybody would like, I've got the floor plans, which are complete for all three floors. The architecture work done to date. If that would be any value to anybody.
Mm-hmm. All the questions.
Larry called a question. Larry called a question.
Mr. Chair, just so that I'm on the same page with the official minutes, what I did is insert after December 1st, 2006, I put with a requirement of a 5% present value savings.
On the $7 million refunding?
Yes.
Yes. That's
why
passed.
I inserted your amendment. Okay.
That'll work.
Okay. I had a call for the question.
Yes.
All in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Three?
Okay.
The measure passes.
Are there any abstentions?
No?
No abstentions? I don't believe it. No, everyone voted. Okay. Item 3.2.
Move it. Move adoption.
Okay. Questions? Discussion?
It just gives us our money back is all it does if we
advance. Second.
Second
by Mr. Higdon. There's no discussion. I'll call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
No.
That's two nays and...
Oh, abstention.
All three. Okay.
Abstention or no?
She abstained.
One abstention, two no's. Okay. Measure passes. 3.3.
Move adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair, if I may, sorry, I meant to jump in as I think I heard discussion. Let me clarify that this did not go through committee. We wanted to wait and get the faculty market adjustments in the agenda item. And additionally, let me point out and apologize to the board that page
49
is a document that describes staff adjustments in greater than 5,000, and we inadvertently have a wrong document submitted there. And for the record, Julia will pass around the corrected descriptions for these 5 employees.
You had the right document submitted. The mistake was made in transmitting that information onto this board material. Thank you.
We'll put another step in our process before print to ensure the accuracy of what we're sending you. I apologize.
But do we have to amend the motion to adopt this 5 change?
If you unanimously agree to accept this.
You have the amended, the adjusted sheet.
It's coming around.
Let's pass that around.
It's a supplemental document that has been added to the personnel actions to clarify. It's more of a background document to clarify for those individuals with increases greater than 5,000. What was the reason? But your action is to approve the salaries.
Oh, okay. It's an explanation of the.
Yes.
Okay.
So
it's not a substantive change.
I believe you're fine.
Okay.
So thank you.
Michelle Clark Hurds, I went basketball coach, not the associate director of marketing.
Change document coming around.
I'm the Lorax, I speak for the trees.
Oh, she's versatile.
Hey, she's versatile, but yeah.
Yeah, and that was where I got that question from Mr. Stewart, was off the sheet we didn't get.
That's for the joint committee. Athletic, academic, I guess. Does everyone agree to say aye if you agree to incorporate this as a part of the motion that's pending?
Aye.
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 Aye. Sounds unanimous. Got to call for a call,
yeah.
Call for a vote.
Call for a vote, yes, please.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimous. Okay. Are there any other matters to come before the committee? I'll now entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items that were submitted by the committees and which have not been removed for further, which have been removed for, which were not removed for particular discussion. This is a blanket motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Were there
any? It's fine.
You really didn't need it, but you're just.
Yeah, we had already done it.
Covered
we had already
yourself,
covered so. That at the beginning, but you're okay.
Okay.
You're double covered.
Got it.
Okay.
For the preview report.
That concludes the committee report and action. President Ransom.